We're continuing our study here in 2 Samuel. Looks like this will be the final day of this study. We're in chapter 23. Let's see, where are we about? Reciting the works of the mighty men of David and his captains here. Was not he, Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was the chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300, slew them, and had a name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, attained he not unto the first three. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiadiah, the son of a valiant man, Kabzeel, who had done so many acts, he slew 200 lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of the pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had a name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo, of Bethlehem. Shema, the Herodite. Elikah, the son of the Herodite. Helez, the Paltite. Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite. Abiezer, the Anathothite. And Mebunai, the Hushathite, Zalmon, the Hohite, Maharai, the Netophathite, whatever. So, it's just a lot of fun trying to get through all these names. So, let's continue here. We're chapter 3, verse 29. I'm hoping the whole chapter 24 isn't like this. Okay, we'll continue here. Heleb, the son of Baanah, Netaphathite, Ittai, the son of Ribiah, out of Gibeah, of the children of Benjamin, Benaiah, the Pirathonite, Hittai, of the brooks of Gaash, Iba Albon, the Arbathite, Azmaveth, the Barhumite, Eliaba, the Shealbanite, of the sons of Jashen, Jonathan, Shema, the Heraite, Ahiam, the son of Sherar, the Hararite, Alephalet, the son of Ahasbai, the son of of the Maacathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite, Hezrei, the Carmelite, Paarai, the Arbite, Egal, the son of Nathan of Zobah, Bani, the Gadite, Zelek, the Ammonite, Naharai, the Beerothite, armor-bearer to Joab, the son of Zeruiah, Ira, the Ithrite, Gerub, an Ithrite, Uriah, the Hittite, 37 in all. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Chapter 24, verse 1. Yes, we're back to sentences that I don't have to halt and pronounce. And again, the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, "Go number Israel and Judah." For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, "Go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people." And Joab said to the king, "Now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, 100-fold, that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth the lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host, and Joab, the captains of the host, went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over Jordan and pitched in Aroer, and the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river Gad, toward Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to the land of Tatum Hod Shai, and they came to Dejan about to Zidon, and came to the stronghold of Tyre, and to all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites, and they went to the south of Judah to even to Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto Yahuwah, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came unto David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return unto him that sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning to the even, to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough. Stay now the hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day unto David, and said to him, Go up, rear an altar up unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up, as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good to him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto a king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said to Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at the price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. And that is the end of 2 Samuel. So we see in that last chapter there that David numbering the people, and apparently for confidence, he numbered all of the men that were able to bear arms in Israel. And that displeased God, because our Heavenly Father wanted David to count solely on him. And especially after, you know, chapter 22, we read that song of praise. And here David turned to the hand of man, and the entire nation suffered for the sin of their king. And I believe that entire nations do suffer for the sins of their kings, and that they suffer their kings to go ahead and do the things they do. I believe it's appropriate. We also see at the end that David, and I really like this, that David said, if we go back to that, he said, I will offer, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at the price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Are you only offering to God that which costs you nothing? You know, there's a lot of people that do that, and they pat themselves on the back thinking they're so good. There was a really evil and wicked man, a legislator who died here recently by the initials of TK. Very wicked man. What a terribly wicked man. And all of his wicked friends, they got together on his during his funeral or whatever it was, and they eulogized the man, how great he was, how much good he did in all the legislation that he passed. And oh, he just cared so much for the poor and the downtrodden, and providing abortions for poor women to save them from the burden of having, and on it went. But all the good that that man did, if he did any good at all, and all the wickedness that he did it by stealing money from his neighbors, by unlawfully stealing from people. He offered that which costs him nothing, and his wickedness is evident to all. Okay, well, that's the end of 2 Samuel, and I don't know what I should do next. I don't know if anyone might have some comments. You can visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and perhaps you might email me there and ask me to do to cover a topic if you wish, or what book should I go to next that I haven't already done. If you want to know what books I have already done, go to my website there, crosstheborder.org. You'll find a link there to my Bible studies, which are all in a folder, so you can see which ones I have up there. And I believe the last four or five are not up there, and I need to take a little time and make sure all of those get posted. We'll see where the Lord leads next week. Like I said, go to my website, crosstheborder.org. You have not seen the video that's on my homepage there, crosstheborder.org. And I think if you actually double click on the right click on the YouTube window, you can go to the actual page, YouTube page, and leave comments there if you wish to do that. But do take advantage of that video and send links to everyone you know. I think it's a very important video. It should enlighten everyone as to some aspect of our salvation and the plan of God. And I believe that a unique view that our Heavenly Father has given to me, a unique view and insight. I had, before time, I had a video I had under the same name called Anti-Zeitgeist, and it had got up around 80,000 views when I removed it. Just because, well, there are many other better videos up there to challenge Zeitgeist, and I thought this one, the message of this new one, was much more important than arguing over a wicked video that someone else posted. And like I said, there are many men who have posted better challenges than the one I posted, although mine is still up there, posted by other people, and some even with Russian language and other languages over them. So the video continues on. It was the first video I ever did. I thought it was terrible, but the Heavenly Father blessed it anyway. I think the new one is much better, and the message is much more needed, though it doesn't seem to get as much attention. I still get the same type of comments, though, from the few unregenerate people that do watch it. So anyway, it's there for you. But do email me. I would like to hear from you. Where should we go next? Topics you'd like me to cover? Just email me there, and I usually answer all of my emails within a few days if they require an answer. Okay, well, you've been listening to Cross the Border, and that's about it for today. There is nothing more important than that you cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and obtain eternal life. The border to the kingdom of God is not like the borders of the kingdoms of this world, some imaginary line that they placed on the earth where they divide one kingdom from another. And they have border crossings, or they may not have border crossings. They may have fences, and they may have guards, or they may not. The kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is a heavenly kingdom, and it is in the spiritual realm. And indeed, the whole earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and every one and everything that dwells therein are all His. His kingdom traverses all the borders of the kingdoms of men. And how do you cross that border? Well, you don't have to wait to die, as many people believe. Because Yahshua said, it would be better for you if you lost an eye, a leg, or a foot, than that you allow anything to keep you out of His kingdom. So we know that it is available to us. He was talking about in this life we enter into His kingdom. Paul said, I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's in the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the spiritual realm. Jesus said, he who endures till the end shall be saved. What do we have to endure? Well, we have to endure carrying the cross, meaning putting to death the deeds of the flesh, all of those things that offend our King and His law. But we do it because we love Him. Our King is looking for volunteers to enter His kingdom. That's right, volunteers. There's no force. Nobody's forced in, and nobody's forced to stay in. You don't like it? You don't like the King's law? Then you get to leave. That's right. Nobody's being held by force in His kingdom. He's looking for volunteers, people who love Him and say, I want to do those things which please the King. I may not be very good at it. I may fail 7 times, but I'm going to get back up every time. And I'm going to look to the King's law. I'm going to continue to repent until I learn obedience. Oh, Heavenly Father, teach me obedience, because I want to live my life in a way that's pleasing to You. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. That's what it means to walk in His kingdom and have Him as your King. He said, Yahshua, Jesus, said, if you love me, keep my commandments. James said, I will show you my faith by my works. If the works don't follow, the faith isn't real. That's the point. So if the works aren't following, then the faith isn't real. If you're not learning obedience, then you need to check out your faith. Is the desire truly there to live a life that's pleasing to the King? Are you just looking for a pass so you can continue to gratify the deeds of the flesh? Well, as always, in everything you say and in everything you do, bless His holy name. Hallelujah.